Podcast for Field Goals. I'm Danny Kelly. Joined by me every week is Jackson Bevins. How you doing, Jackson?
What's up? Doing great.
Very, very well. So, we got kind of a, we've had a break here after Thanksgiving. We skipped the podcast last week because of scheduling conflicts with a weird week. But we're back at it this week. Just to update the scores, I went 10-6 last week and now sit 106-68 on the year. That is in the 87th percentile. Jackson went 8-8.
You don't got to talk about it.
Jackson, we were tied after last week. He dropped two games this week. I'm trying to remember which ones they were just off the top of my head, but I can't.
Well, I mean, it looks so silly in retrospect. But
you picked Dallas. You picked Dallas too, right?
Or no, I didn't pick Philly. I'm sorry, I did pick Detroit, but I picked Dallas. Just that one was too bad. Let's see. What was the other one we disagreed on? Let me pull it up.
The ATL.
I went Falcons. I think you went Vikings.
Yep. That's it.
There was another one too. Oh yeah. You had Raiders. I had Titans. Cause I got one on you with the Seahawks.
You did. And I had Washington. You had the Giants. I got that one. Let's see here. Looking through the rest. I think
so. I must've got one more on you.
You got Indy. I got Tampa Bay. So there we go.
Okay.
So we had quite a – that was an interesting week. Obviously, we're not in the 90th percentile where we want to be, but it's been kind of a crazy year just in terms of everything. There's been two really, really crazy weeks. So anyway, hopefully we can get things back on schedule this week. There's 4 weeks left in the season. So, yeah.
Well, and I do have a control entry that just picks the favorites every week.
Yeah.
So for comparison's sake. And so basically the Vegas line, and they have 102 wins.
Okay. So we're still
we're both ahead. We're both ahead of the line, and that's a good thing. It means you're doing well. So if you're 103 and above, you're in our group, which looks like 26 of the 130 are. You are beating Vegas, and both you and I are. So we're not where we want to be, but we're doing okay.
Someone was making the joke in Field Goals the other day that was saying, thanks for the slightly above average picks or whatever. I think that's probably a little bit wrong. I think, like you were saying, Vegas is even two behind us. I think we're doing pretty well relatively. If you're in the 87th percentile, whatever, 85th,
That was a really funny comment, though. I don't remember who it was, but kudos to you.
Yeah. Shout out to CW6, who is still in first place. He has 150. He or she has 115 picks, correct? 99.7 percentile. He did have a bad week, though. Only got 8-8 that week, last week. So allowed a few people maybe potentially catch up a little bit. So this will be a big week again. Betty Swalox is second, Mighty Hawk third, GOL third, Mama Unit in fifth.
And by the way, Mighty Hawk went 13-3 last week.
Big week, big week.
Only person in the group to do it.
Wow, really? Wow.
Yep.
Nice. Let's see here. Maury Povich, who was in first for a long time, is now in fifth, but only 5 picks off the lead, so plenty of time to make that up. Anyway, let's just get right into the schedule, unless you have anything to add before we do that.
Nope.
All righty. So, I mean, right off the bat, you have kind of an interesting one to me. Thursday night games are always kind of just a shit show, and you never really know what to expect. Green Bay at Detroit. I'll be really interested to see who you picked in this one. You'd mentioned before the show that you kind of went against the crowd on a few of these. What do you have for this game?
I took the Packers.
Okay.
But it wasn't easy. Currently, Vegas has Green Bay as a 3-point favorite on the road on a short week. So they still see them despite how the teams have performed respectively over the last month. Vegas still sees the Packers as the better team by almost a touchdown on neutral field. Which, I mean, part of that is probably playing to a lot of people just looking at the two teams and looking at the records and picking the Packers. So that might move the line their way a point or two. But I do still think that they're the better team. What's really interesting about this game is for the first 8 or so weeks of the season, first half of the season, no team looked like they had less of an identity than the Detroit Lions.
Right.
And Green Bay, had as solid an identity and personality to their team as any team in the NFL over the last 5 years. So it's been so bizarre to see that at basically the exact same point in the season, they started going in very opposite directions, and now they're meeting each other with the team that's on the downswing being on the road on a short week and the team that's up on the upswing being at home. And that made picking Detroit really, really tempting. But I still just see a massive disparity in talent at the most important position on the field. I still think Aaron Rodgers is, you know, if not the best, one of the two best quarterbacks in the world. And I'm kind of just putting my faith in that and the fact that there's just more talent on that roster.
Yeah. And this is an interesting one because I actually picked Detroit and I had the same kind of thought process and like I first wrote down Green Bay even. But then I kind of just decided for whatever reason that my gut is telling me that Detroit is good in this one. They're the hot hand. I'm kind of riding the hot hand on this one a little bit. Green Bay has just really, really struggled the last couple of weeks. Even when they've won, they haven't been super impressive. Going back about a month or two. And so, you know, there's still just issues with that offense. I think the defense hasn't been quite as good as it had been before. I still think they're a good team. They're still, in terms of DVOA, they're still ranked pretty high in everything, but pretty much riding the hot hand on this one, even though it's kind of not risky necessarily, but it might be kind of dumb. But again, it's short week. It's in Detroit, which is, always, the Thursday night games always kind of factor at home team versus not home team. It's a division game. I went with Detroit on this one. I think it's going to be a really fun one to watch, but I kind of just think that they're riding that wave last week of kicking Philly's ass. And, they've looked a lot better over the last couple of weeks. I think they kind of got their, like you said, their identity back a little bit. And I think, I don't think they're as bad as their record would indicate in the whole year, basically, because this is before the season, this was a playoff team. Like everyone kind of considered them as one of the, potential people that could go to the playoffs in the NFC North. They could potentially challenge for the, division and all that. So I think it was weird that they did so terribly at the beginning of the year. So I think they're kind of normaling out a little bit, not to say that they're, a playoff team or anything like that. They're not going to the playoffs this year, but I think that they're a lot better than they've shown. And so I'm kind of riding that as well. It's going to be a fun one though. I'm actually really looking forward to that game.
Yeah, and one thing that we're talking about the Packers being on a downturn. Their downturn reminds me a lot of kind of how the first half, month and a half of the season was for the Seahawks. The Packers aren't getting blown out. I think all of their losses have been by one score.
They're slogging their way through games like the Seahawks do a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And, you look at their losses and they're to the Broncos, who look awesome. They're to the Panthers, who are best team in the NFL this year. And then they had to the Lions. They lost by two on the last play of the game. So I don't know.
And the Bears, who are doing a lot better lately.
Yeah, the Bears are doing great lately. Actually, I won five of their last six or something like that. Four of the last five. I don't think that Green Bay has a bunch of like bad losses. They've been playing less than what we've expected, but I don't think they have that far to go to get back.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I still think that they're a good team. I'm just kind of riding the hot hand on this one. Not that that necessarily actually ever works in football necessarily.
It's okay. But that was just me talking myself back into the Packers after you made a really compelling case for the Lions.
All right. Well, that's a good one to watch. I'm actually, usually I'm not too excited about the Thursday night games, but that one I think will be pretty fun.
As a Hawks fan, I'll be cheering for the Lions, though.
Yeah, definitely. Moving down the line, San Francisco at Chicago. The line is 7 right now. The Niners played the Cardinals pretty well at home, but if you look at the splits, I don't have them in front of me, but I saw a tweet recently that, the Niners have, like, the fifth or sixth ranked defense at home and then, like, the last ranked defense on the road, which is an interesting thing, but I still, San Francisco just talent deficient, and they are facing a team right now that is really playing well. And there's the whole Vic Fangio revenge factor going on here, which will be kind of fun. Who do you have in this one?
Chicago. I really like Chicago. I think that surprisingly enough, they're of all the teams that are behind Seattle, I think they're the most threatening, which is crazy because think about how bad they were without Jay Cutler. Like, I don't think I've ever considered Jay Cutler to be a transformative player, where, you know, the kind of guy that's worth 9 or 10 wins, but right. This season is kind of making me reevaluate that. They were the worst team in the NFL without him, and they're been really good with him back.
Yeah, we were talking about
them. I think that they're playing really well, and I think the 49ers, I mean, even though they played close, it looked like Arizona played pretty sloppy. I still think that they were probably the worst team in the NFL this year, so I don't see them winning on the road.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the Bears. I remember, I think week 4 or 3, when they were kind of having like a fire sale and trading off a bunch of guys. We were talking about them as potential first overall pick type team.
Oh yeah, I think at that point.
And if you look at the weighted DVOA, which is, you know, if you don't know what weighted it means, that the games recently are more heavily weighted than, you know, the beginning of the season. In other words, are teams heating up or are they getting worse if you compare it to the regular DVOA? So Chicago is ranked 14th in weighted DVOA, and they're, and if you look in the back half of the NFL, 17 on, that they and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 14 and 16 respectively. And so those teams, you know, if you're talking about teams that are kind of hot right now and heating up and as we go into the second half of the season, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of where they are. So yeah, I mean, I picked the Bears in this one. They're at home. I don't have any faith in the Niners. You know, Blaine Gabbert is probably doing better than what Colin Kaepernick could have done, which is crazy to think about because I didn't think that would happen. But overall, I think they're playing a little bit better, but I still don't think that they're good by any means. So I think I'm going with Chicago on this one as well. It's a pretty easy pick for me. Moving down the line, we got Cincinnati at Cleveland. I'll just let you go and say who you picked here. I think it's probably pretty clear.
Yeah, I took the Bengals in this one. I still think that they're really good, and I still think that the Browns are really bad.
And that's all I have to say about that. I picked Cincinnati as well. Moving down the line, we got Jacksonville at Tennessee, a battle of two bad teams. You know, just when you think Jacksonville starts kind of getting in the right direction, they go out and, you know, basically take a step back. And, you know, Tennessee is still bad, but they show certain things at times that make you kind of like what they're doing. And obviously Mariota's had a pretty good year for being a rookie. Who do you have in this one?
This was a tough one. I mean, I have a really hard time picking between bad teams, especially when those bad teams have quarterbacks that have shown themselves to be really good at times. So it's hard. You know, all it takes is for one of the two quarterbacks to be the best version of themselves, and that's what would win. Which we see about one out of every three games from each of them. So in situations like this, I default to the home team. Tennessee almost beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, so I don't think there's a huge talent disparity head-to-head or some crazy matchup that, you know, is going to be exploited heavily by one team. So defaulting to the home team on this one and taking the Titans.
Yeah, I did too. I've said this in the past. I just don't trust Jacksonville. And so in this case, like we've said many times on the show before, if you have two bad teams, pick the home team. Because, you know, it typically takes a little bit of extra talent or momentum or whatever to win on the road, just in general in the NFL. I don't see Jacksonville having that. You know, you never really know. But, I just defaulted to the home team as well on this one. I, you know, didn't spend a lot of time thinking about that game. Houston at Buffalo is the next one on the list. You know, potentially this is kind of a good matchup because there's two teams with really good defenses, in theory anyway. Buffalo, you know, they've shown glimpses at times and then they've kind of just crapped the bed at others. Still don't really know what kind of team they are. I know that Houston's defense is really, really heated up lately. J.J. Watt is playing at freakish levels again. And I think, you know, he's leading the NFL in sacks again and just kind of going off every week again. And they've kind of found their identity. I think they get Brian Hoyer back this week if they already hadn't. I can't remember. Did they have him back last week?
Hoyer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, they have him back, which is good. And then, you know, obviously their defense is playing really well. So who did you pick in this one?
Yeah, this was a really tough one. A couple weeks ago, I don't think it would have been, but I'm super impressed with the Texans' defense lately.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt is, I mean, it's crazy how consistently productive he is. I saw a Bill Brandt on Twitter that was ranking the amount of pressures generated by individual players, and Justin Houston was second with 49.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt had 67. Like, that's like take the rest of the year off and still win the title type thing, and that's coming right from a guy that plays interior as much as exterior as a rusher. You know, I mean, he's also amazing against the run, and you know, he might be a thirsty glory boy, but if there's anybody in the world who's backing that up with on-field production, it's J.J. Watt. And you just see how he shrinks the field for an offense and shrinks the clock for a quarterback. I think it's the most valuable skill you can have on defense. So I really like the Texans defense. I just, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, there's just nothing on offense. And I think the Bills are a more well-rounded team. I think Shady McCoy is playing as well as he ever has right now. Mm-hmm. He looks like the least tackleable guy in the NFL. Sammy Watkins is finally back to full speed, and the numbers he's putting up lately are crazy. So I did go with Buffalo, especially with them being at home. It'll be a really interesting game with all the playoff implications between these two teams and just this crazy crowd at 5-6/6-5 in both AFC and NFC. So I am going to watch this game with some interest, but I think the Bills are better overall and am going with them.
Yeah. I went with Houston in this game.
Cool.
Kind of goes against my better judgment because you're picking the underdog on the road. But again, it's kind of a matter of riding the team that's really confident right now. I think Buffalo, I mean, you know, they kind of crapped the bed in the second half against the Chiefs. Obviously, they played them tough, but I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I just, you know, Buffalo to me just doesn't seem like they're, you know, as good as I wanted them to be or I think they are necessarily. So kind of going with the hot hand again. Houston's just playing out of their mind on defense, playing really well. You know, they've got a game changer in J.J. Watt and, you know, a lot of good role players on defense. I think, like you said, though, their offense doesn't really do anything for me either. But in my mind, Buffalo's defense really doesn't do anything for me either. You know, they were supposed to be this like top team, maybe potentially one or two in terms of defense this year. They just really haven't been that. Rex Ryan, I don't know what his influence is with that. You know, obviously he came in and had all these really high expectations for what he was going to do with the defense. I just don't think it's really happened. So that was kind of the reason I went with Houston. I think, you know, I'm going with Houston's defense to me has been dominant lately, and I'm basically making my pick because of that. So that's going to be a fun game to watch. That's one of the early games on Sunday. And, you know, that's obviously I didn't look at how it was picked. Let's take a look here. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those swing games because, you know.
The Texans-Bills?
Yeah, let's see here. Because
Bills are getting 62% right now, and Vegas has them as a three-point favorite. So they're calling this an even matchup on neutral field.
So there we go. Good swing game for us. Baltimore at Miami. What do you have?
Yeah. What to make of these two teams, right?
Two of my least favorite teams.
If Flacco is healthy, I would be really tempted to pick Baltimore. If Justin Forsett was healthy, I'd be really tempted to pick Baltimore. If Steve Smith was healthy, I'd be really tempted to pick them. But I just, you know, the Dolphins might not be good, but they're not the Browns. I don't think Baltimore is going to be able to do this week what they did last week, which is basically miracle their way into a win at a bad football team's house. So I just don't – I mean, it's nice to see them getting some weird wins back the last couple of weeks against San Diego and then against Cleveland, just because they got jobbed out of so many in the first half of the year, just random weird occurrences. But I still don't think they're very good, and they're trotting the JV out there right now, where I just think Miami is a more talented team. They're at home. You know, for all their struggles, they're still basically playing their starters. So I just think the talent differential is too big not to take Miami.
Yeah, and I kind of had the same line of thinking as you. Baltimore, I don't know if there's a team in the NFL right now that has lost the battle of attrition more than they have. Probably not. And they weren't playing well to begin with. So, I mean, I kind of just look at the state of affairs in Baltimore, and I pick Miami based on that. Obviously, they're at home as well. So I went with Miami and didn't really think much about it. Moving down the line, again, this is probably not one you'll have to think too much about. Carolina at New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what's to say? You got one of the – maybe the most physically unique quarterback in NFL history playing at the absolute peak of his game against one of the statistically worst defenses that's ever existed.
It's so bad. I'm just looking at it right now.
Like, yeah, by DVOA, they are –
they're almost twice as bad.
Like, literally almost twice as bad as the 49ers. So the 49ers are 15.4 defensive DVOA, which, just so you know, league average is zero. 15.4 is really bad. That's second worst.
Really bad. Yeah.
New Orleans is 26.3. Yeah. Like, it's just absurd how terrible they are at one half of football.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that was, you know, I probably would pick Carolina just about over anybody at this point just because of the way they're playing. But there are, you know, New Orleans defense is just a total mess. And their offense isn't really doing all that great anymore either. So this one was a pretty much of a no-brainer. I'm actually kind of surprised it's only a 7-point spread right now.
Yeah, I think just road and division.
Yeah.
The division matchup keeps it close, and I would want to know that no matter how games are going, I can't imagine Drew Brees has been a double digit underdog much, just because,
true,
you know. Awesome. Anyway, but yes, that's probably why it's not 10. But I think Carolina is probably true talent 10 points better than New Orleans.
This game actually is in terms of the over under, it's the highest game on the schedule this week.
I can see that. Carolina's offense has been rolling lately.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, they're kind of looking at Drew Brees, like, oh, he could score some points. And especially if they start losing, they start throwing it all over the place. And so
that's a really dangerous backdoor cover right there.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Carolina being up 17 in the fourth and or 20 in the fourth, and the Saints
crawling
always
back.
Do and just, yeah. So anyway, that look for that as a potential backdoor cover if you're betting against the spread. But yeah, it's I'm with you when you said that. I was trying to think of a team that I would pick to beat Carolina right now. I'm not sure there is one.
Maybe Denver.
Maybe Denver and maybe Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Carolina doesn't really have any tough tests the rest of the year, as far as I can tell. I think they have a really pretty good chance of going undefeated, which is crazy.
They have. I can tell you where their schedule ranks. Yeah, so by DVOA, their opponents, it's the second easiest schedule from here on out. So we might be looking at a 16-0 team.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. Well, that'll be cool to see if that happens. You know, obviously we just passed the 1-year anniversary of the last time they lost in the regular season. They lost on November 30th last year. And then they lost in the playoffs to the Seahawks. So the Seahawks are the only team that's beaten them in the last year.
That is so crazy.
So moving down the line, we got the big game for us, Seattle at Minnesota. Right now, according to I think this is a – so we look at footballlocks.com. I think this is like the line. They take the line of a whole bunch of different places. Is that it's like an aggregate?
Yeah, it's sort of a collective.
Okay. So the aggregate or whatever this is a pick 'em. Which is, I think, about right. Sounds right to me.
Sounds very right to me.
So I'm curious. Would
probably be about a 5-point favorite at home if it was in Seattle.
Right. So I'm curious, who did you pick in this one?
I took the Seahawks. And the reason that I did it is Seattle's defense, for all of their struggles with cohesion and identity and stopping the second or third best receiver on the opposing team, that's not the thing you have to worry about with Minnesota. They don't pass for shit. And it's really hard to run on the Seahawks if you don't have a quarterback that can run. You know, the only teams that have really had success running against the Seahawks in the last 4 years are teams where, you know, you see a lot of read option, and, you know, like Carolina and San Francisco when Kaepernick was really rolling. Those are the teams that can run. And Minnesota is so one-dimensional on offense and so okay on defense that I think Seattle is uniquely suited to take away what they do. I think if you stop Adrian Peterson, you stop the Vikings. And I think Seattle can definitely do that. Even though, I mean, it's amazing what we're seeing from Adrian Peterson. I think he's 32. And, you know, he's going to take a shot at 2,000 yards, which is just
– he's having like a close to a career year, but no one gives a shit because of basically what he did.
Right, yeah, which is interesting. But let me see. I'm pulling it up right now.
There would certainly be a lot more hype, I think, if he hadn't skipped all of last year or whatever, most of last year, because of, you know, the whole child abuse thing. But, yeah.
So I think I'm looking at it right now, and by DVOA, no team has a bigger split in between their ability to run and their ability to pass than Minnesota. They're fourth by rushing DVOA and 25th by passing DVOA. And no one, you know, the teams that have beaten the Seahawks through the air are good quarterbacked teams with good receivers. And that's not Minnesota yet. They're okay at that. And remember, they're not ranked 25th by DVOA because they don't pass very often. That's on a per pass basis. So I just don't see AP going off to the degree he'd need to carry Minnesota over what I think is a superior talented team.
Yeah, and for reference, the Seahawks right now are, and we reference DVOA a lot, I think, because we both just like it as a, you know, it's a good as long as far as advanced stats, it definitely matches the eye test for me the most often, which I think is, you know, kind of an important thing. And the Seahawks are ranked 11th in the rush. In terms of the traditional stats, let's pull this up real quick. The Seahawks are fifth in the NFL in terms of yards per game. So they're giving up 92.9 yards per game on the year, which is fifth in the NFL. And then they are giving up 3.8 yards per carry, which is seventh. So, I mean, there you go. Kind of, they're definitely still a really strong run defense team. And so I think they're built to play this kind of game. I think this is the kind of team they're built to play. This is kind of like Minnesota, and this has been said a few times, Minnesota is a Seattle-style team, and Pete Carroll referenced that this week. You know, they're kind of an NFC West-style team with run, really a heavy run game, good defense. You know, Mike Zimmer's kind of turned them into that. And so I think Seattle's built really well to play this type of game. And so I think, even though it's in Minnesota, even though Minnesota is a really strong team, I picked the Seahawks as well. I think they'll go in there and win because this is kind of their, like, this is their game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they, you know, it's funny because each of the last 3 years, kind of since our expectations got raised, we've moaned about what is going wrong with the Seahawks to some degree until you get to November. And then we're just seeing right now what we've seen each of the last few years, which is, you know, they've been willing to get punched in the mouth the first half of the year while they just lay body blows and figure some things out. And then they just wear down the second half of their schedule when everyone else is breaking down. You know, that's the kind of thing that favors Seattle. They're not going to out finesse anybody. They're going to try and just push you over. And we're seeing Seattle start to do that. And what we saw last week was them show the ability that they can win a game that doesn't fit, you know, their style.
Oh, totally.
Last week's game against Pittsburgh, that was one of the weirdest Seahawks games in the last 5 years, and they were able to win playing that game too. So even if, you know, the Seahawks don't get things going the way they'd like, I think they have a better ability to adapt than Minnesota does if they can't establish the run.
Yeah. Moving down the line. So we both picked Seattle on that one. Not terribly surprising. I'm now snake bitten from picking the Seahawks or picking against the Seahawks, even though I was emotionally hedging that. let's take a look at St. Louis or Arizona at St. Louis. Arizona obviously is still playing really well. St. Louis, their defense is still ranked third in DVOA in terms of the defense, but
they're just on the field all the time.
Yeah. I'm guessing you picked the Cardinals in this one, but what do you have?
Yeah, I did. I picked the Cardinals. I think right now the Cardinals are one of the four best teams in the NFL. It wasn't a slam dunk, though, because they did lose to St. Louis at home earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they are without Chris Johnson, and it looks like they'll be without Andre Ellington. And everyone loves David Johnson, and, you know, talent-wise, he may be the best of the bunch. But now they're leaning on a rookie, and that's a team that does run a lot. Chris Johnson was, I think, the third leading rusher in the NFL. So, you know, that's going to have to do – if Ellington can't go, you know, a lot of their pass pro-type stuff, you know, he's going to have to do. And he's shown that he can be effective in – 15, 20 snaps a game. Can he be effective for 55, 60 snaps a game? That's going to be really interesting to see. So it wasn't a slam dunk pick. I think St. Louis still has the best front seven in football. But Arizona knows who they are. St. Louis, despite all of their individual talent, Jeff Fisher seems like he's just losing them. I mean, they're getting worse and worse every week.
His ass, Jackson.
Like, they threw 43 times with Nick Foles and ran with Todd Gurley 9 times last week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what the game flow is. How does that happen?
Yeah.
So I just don't know that St. Louis really knows what they're doing right now. So, yeah, I did pick the Cardinals. I thought about it for a little bit and thought about how St. Louis beat the Cardinals back in, I think it was week – I don't remember what week it was, 4 maybe? They anyway.
In their place. Yeah, this is –
Yeah, it was in Arizona. So, you know, if they can get to Carson Palmer, of course, that changes everything, and they're uniquely designed to be able to do that. But I just think Arizona is better everywhere else, and I think they're for real. I think they're the best team in the NFC, honestly.
Yeah. I picked Arizona as well on this one in terms of – I just went with the smart pick. I'll be rooting for St. Louis, so obviously, though, because it'll make things more interesting if the Rams can pull off an upset. The Rams always seem to kind of – play better in games when you think they're going to suck for whatever reason, or at least in terms of when I pick them. So,
my all-time record picking the Rams has just got to be terrible.
Fuck the Rams, man. The Rams are so impossible to figure out.
Yeah.
Every year it's like, oh, they got all this talent, so talented, talent, talent, talent. And every year they're the same.
And I mean, personally, I'm glad that they haven't figured it out.
Right.
But it's crazy. They were gifted so much draft capital for this 3-year stretch, and they brought in some amazing individual talent, like otherworldly individual talent, and they can't get it to click.
And they even got Mark Barron in what was essentially just like a late round pick or something like that, and he's played really well too. And
oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, what the hell? But
don't they have like 5 first round picks on their defensive line?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, at least 4. Nick Fairley, Long, Donald, Brockers, and then there was probably one other one that I'm not thinking of. But Quinn. Yeah, there's 5.
Jeez.
Talk about concentrating your resources in one area.
It's an awesome thing to watch, though. Like, I'm not a line play connoisseur by any stretch. I don't know how to watch the tape on those guys, but I will watch a Rams game just to watch their front four.
Yeah. Aaron Donald is freaking awesome.
Yeah. Really, oh man, he's got an almost JJ Watt ceiling, I think.
Yeah, seriously. It's just like, God, it pissed me off so much when he went to the Rams. The good news is I really liked Greg Robinson, and I guess he's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, even out a little bit. Moving on. We both picked Arizona in that game, to be clear. Moving on. We got Atlanta at Tampa Bay. And yeah, I just wanna hear what you think about this game.
Yeah, this was surprising how easy the Tampa Bay pick came to me on this. I just think the Falcons aren't a very good team, and it's been so weird to see them just not, like, something happened to Matt Ryan this year and he just looks broken.
Right.
I mean, he was just throwing head-scratching interceptions on Sunday. He had one with them poised to take the lead down at like the 5-yard line. And he walking off the field, the receivers are looking at each other like, what is going on? So I don't know what happened. But if Matt Ryan doesn't get right, I don't think they're beating anybody, to be honest with you. And while they've got some really good individual defensive players, I don't think they're a very good defense overall, which has to drive Dan Quinn crazy. They will have Devontae Freeman, which, I mean, who would have thought before the season, but that's definitely a game-changing thing. And Julio Jones, I still think, is, you know, it's between him and Antonio Brown for the best receiver on the planet. So, you know, the ingredients are there for Matt Ryan to really roll. Jacob Tammy has had a revival there. They can block. So I don't get how that team doesn't score 24-plus every single week. And they need to with that defense. So I think the Buccaneers are really cruising. Jameis Winston has been phenomenal for the last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, really crazy. I mean, throwing 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers as a rookie quarterback, that's really bonkers stuff. You know, Mike Evans, for all the drops, is still a really physical receiver who, when you know, gives you that gigantic catch radius, and so does Vincent Jackson. So Doug Martin has the second leading rusher in the NFL. You know, he's going to take a run at 1,800 yards this year. He's a good receiver too. Charles Sims is a great change of pace. I mean, that offense is really, really cruising of late. Now, I don't think they're a good team, but I do think they're better than Atlanta, and they are at home. So I'm going with Jameis on this one.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a little thing on the Falcons this week for SB Nation. And I was looking at – so they started out 5-0. They beat the Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Houston, and Washington. And then since then, they've gone 1-5. So their first 5 games, they averaged 32.4 points per game, gave up 22.4. In the last 6, they've averaged 16.3 points a game.
Oh.
And they've given up 20. So they've actually improved in what they've given up per game, but they've basically halved their scoring over that time.
Crazy.
Insane. So, I mean, you hate to blame one side because I realize it's like a whole team thing, but the offense is just really fucking sucked lately. You know, it's just like, I don't know what's the deal.
Well, the reason I think Devontae Freeman matters so much is not only because he's really good, because he's obviously very, very good, but without him in, and I say this as someone that drafted Julio Jones in every single fantasy league, so I've watched him super closely, and they're just bracketing him and saying, beat us with someone else, and there's no one else to beat them, you know? Yeah. And I think that Freeman makes you redirect that extra defensive back's attention. And Julio Jones can beat anyone on the planet one-on-one. So I think that that does give them opportunity to kind of open things up.
How long has he been out? Just one game?
Well, he's
been injured a little bit.
Yeah, I think just one full game, but he's left a couple of games.
Yeah.
So, it's just – Tevin Coleman isn't Devontae Freeman.
No. And they've been turning the ball over a lot, which is, you know, as we know in Seattle, a huge factor. So yeah, I went with Tampa Bay also. I'm more confident in them by far. I think, like you said, Jameis has been playing really well. You know, he's not making as many turnovers. He's not making hardly any turnovers, in fact, as relative to what he was doing earlier in the year anyway. And yeah, I don't know. I just think with Vincent Jackson back, it kind of changes the dynamic of their offense, and it makes them really tough to defend. And you got into that, and I don't really have a lot to add. I'm just kind of riding that. I like Tampa Bay. They're at home too. I think Atlanta's just on a nosedive. It'll surprise me if they kind of pull out of it, but yeah, I'm going with Tampa Bay on this one. Moving down the line, we have the New York. It's Jets at Giants. Right now, the Jets are favored by 2 at the Meadowlands. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, this is one of those ones where, I mean, if there's any such thing as a neutral field in the NFL, this is it. I don't really see this as like an away game for the Jets or a home game for the Giants. I don't think it'll affect the week's preparation the way that, you know, going on the road does. So I'm seeing this as a neutral field game. You know, the crowd will probably be fairly evenly split. And I do think the Jets are better. I mean, the Giants looked really, really bad last week. That was disconcerting. I think they were coming off their bye too. Mm-hmm. And they just got outclassed by the Redskins. And despite Odell Beckham's best fourth quarter efforts, Washington was clearly the better team on the field, which was surprising to me, obviously, because I picked the Giants. Obviously not as much to you, but I'm losing faith in the Giants as a good team. I think that they're a pretty average team, and I still think the Jets are on the good side of average. So if that makes any sense, I think the 2-point line is pretty good. I won't be surprised if the Giants win, but gun to my head, I'm going with the Jets just because I think they're more talented and have a little bit better idea who they are.
Yeah, and here's how I was thinking about this game. I like the Jets defense a lot more than I like the Giants defense. Mm-hmm. I like the Jets offense more than I like the Giants offense.
Yep.
So I chose.
Did you see the game Fitzpatrick had last week? Fitzgerald Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Is it Fitzpatrick?
What is his name? It's Fitzpatrick.
Talk about football.
So I wrote about that a little bit on Sunday. He has 20 touchdown passes now. Which is more than the Rams and 49ers have combined. And they got him for like a 7th-round pick. It's like a 2017 7th-round like pick that can turn into something else, which would probably turn into like a 6th-rounder. But they basically got Fitzpatrick for nothing. And then they also got, what's his face, Brandon Marshall for like a 5th-round pick. And he's on pace for, he's already almost up to 1,000 yards receiving, and he has 9 touchdowns already. So,
oh yeah, man. And that,
if you want to talk about a GM that did a lot of cool things, I like this Mike McKagan guy. I think he's done a really good job in New York. Obviously, he spent a shitload of money on the secondary and all that, and so it's not necessarily like. I don't know. You can't really credit him for giving Revis a whole bunch of money because Revis is awesome and, whatever. But
but Revis could have taken that money from anybody.
Yeah. So
he was willing to pay a dollar more,
Exactly. So anyways, I like what they've done in New York.
I do too. And can I just say that my back pocket reason for picking the Jets is that Brandon Marshall might be my favorite non-Seahawk in the NFL. I am so happy to see him thriving there. I think that guy is just a dude. And it was when I heard he went to the Jets for a 5th-round pick, I was like, come on, Schneider.
Yeah, seriously.
What are you doing?
It pisses me off.
Yeah, it does, man. It totally does.
I mean, they were trying to sign him before. It's like, what changed in that time? You know what I mean? Didn't they try and like wine and dine him or whatever and get him to come over here?
Yeah, they seaplaned him in.
Yeah. So it's like, what the hell? But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they were scared off by the whole Percy thing at that time. I can't remember what the timeline was for all this, but
yeah.
I think Brandon Marshall just went to the Jets this year, right?
Yeah, he did. But okay. Honestly, like It's the Percy decision had some really wide-ranging repercussions.
Yeah.
And I think one of them is you don't go out and trade for a mercurial wide receiver for a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Marshall's been traded 3 times in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the type of guy that, you know, you kind of – you always have to be ready to react to something that he has said or not so much done anymore. It used to be stuff that he did. But, you know, I love him, one, because I love his game, and two, it's so cool to dedicate so much real time and real money to mental health issues as someone who's been really open about his struggles with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but with that means that, you know, he goes for a fifth round pick, which if you didn't have that part of the equation, there's no way that happens.
Yeah. And you know who else has been pretty underrated this year is Eric Decker. He's got 8 touchdowns. You know, he's had a few problems with drops, but I think, you know, they have like a really good offense set up around Fitzpatrick. God, I can never remember his name now. Yeah. But they've got a good system set up around him, obviously. And you know what? It's funny because James Carpenter and Breno Giacomini have played pretty well for them too in their power system. So anyway, I like the Jets more is what I'm saying. Basically across the, you know, just across the board. But that said, I do think it'll probably be a close game, like you said. Wouldn't be like terribly surprised if the Giants win it. But I do just like the Jets more. Moving down the line, you know, this one looks pretty bad on the surface. Denver at San Diego. I don't really think that San Diego even has a home field advantage at this point. But, you know, Phillip Rivers, the way he's playing, is kind of the X factor in every game. He had 4 touchdown passes last week, kind of caught back on fire after not doing much the week before. I think they were playing the Chiefs. But they're playing, obviously, the best defense in the NFL right now in Denver. I don't know if that's going to be enough. I don't know if Phillip Rivers is going to be enough to win this with the depleted state of their offense. What do you think about this game?
I'm sorry. You got to tell me what game we're talking about.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Denver at San Diego.
Okay. I think that Denver is – this Denver season is a really interesting case study, I think, because, you know, you've got the most decorated, heralded offensive player in history as the quarterback, and they end up being the worst offense in the NFL. And it just coincides with the one time in his career that Peyton Manning gets a great defense. And it's so funny because when you think about the Broncos of previous years, you know, especially that 2013 team that set all the records and went to the Super Bowl, is you're looking at a okay defense but great offense team. And then this was, you know, the most stark photo negative of that you could happen.
Right.
And now – with Peyton Manning out, you don't have to cater to your quarterback's comfort level anymore. They've got Brock Osweiler under center, which has both of their running backs who've been sucking, feeling great again and like openly excited to be running plays from under center the way Kubiak lights. Now they've got a running game. They go out and beat the Patriots. I mean, Denver is a super fascinating team to watch. I'm super into following them this year, and I don't think they'll have any problem with San Diego.
Yeah, I agree. If it wasn't clear, I picked them as well. Let's see here. Moving on, we got Kansas City at Oakland. This has the potential to be kind of an interesting game also. I just don't – you know, Oakland is kind of up and down. Kansas City is one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in the NFL right now. Who do you have in this one?
I think, Kansas City might be the hottest team in the NFL. In terms of weighted DVOA, I think in overall DVOA, they're number 3 now.
Let me look.
Crazy.
They are.
They are first in weighted DVOA. So, for the season, Football Outsiders has them as the number 3 overall team. And in terms of recent play, the number 1 overall team. And it's so crazy because – they were struggling really mightily early in the season. And then they lost their otherworldly talent in Jamal Charles. Like, it should have gone completely off the rails, and they're looking at a high draft pick. They've come out and been the most efficient offense in the NFL over that time period. Like, it's, and that's not to say that Jamal Charles is in any way overrated or anything. I think that it's just a reminder at how good Andy Reid is.
Yeah. I mean,
like, he's got to, if they keep finishing this way, you know, finish the season this way, that might be coach of the year talk for Andy Reid. I am baffled and amazed by the Chiefs lately.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really cool to see. You know, we had all these discussions when the Seahawks played the Chiefs in the preseason about who was better, Russell Wilson or Alex Smith. And I still don't think that Alex Smith is better than Russell Wilson, but he's actually had a pretty damn good year. Just doing what he does, not necessarily, you know, he's not necessarily going out there and winning you games, although he did hit on a couple of deep passes this past week that were pretty impressive. But if you look at his numbers right now, he's completing 63.8% of his passes for 7.6 yards per attempt, which is pretty decent. His 12 touchdowns and only 3 picks, his rating is 94.6. Like, he's just as manager as a game manager as you can possibly get. You know what I mean? And he has 55 attempts for 303 yards rushing too. It's not like necessarily, you know, that's not a pittance. So he's been really pretty good for that offense.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I think that one of the qualities of a good coach isn't just that you have some great system, but that you're able to adapt to your personnel. And, and Andy Reid has done that, you know. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to be able to stretch the field, but he figured out how to really maximize Alex Smith's strengths and take advantage of his athleticism. That's something that, because he's white, people don't credit him with, but he's fast, like really fast.
Yeah.
And an extremely smart runner. I remember thinking that when Seattle played them last year. He's not a guy that's going to give you the opportunity to win the game. He's not going to take his chances. He'll leave a lot of touchdowns on the field, but he leaves a lot of interceptions on the field too. And I don't know what streak he's on, but it's some absurd number of pass attempts without an interception right now.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. I think that they've got something really special there. It's been plug and play at running back. Everybody that they've had, whether it's Jamal Charles or Charkandrick West or Spencer Ware, I mean, putting up just all pro type numbers week to week. It's a really cool thing to watch. And as big a fan as I am of the Raiders this year, we've been reminded over the last month that they're not there yet.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the way KC's playing, they shouldn't have much trouble.
Yeah. I take it you took KC. I took Kansas City as well.
I did.
Pretty much for the same reason. So we're agreeing on that one. Moving down the line, we have Philly at New England. Things just don't get any easier for Philadelphia, whose defense has been atrocious lately. But on the other hand, New England is among one of the, you know, we talked about the Ravens losing the battle of attrition. The Patriots have really lost that as well. Obviously, they lost Gronk now for what looks like probably a week or two. And so I don't know who's left on their offense right now. Like, Amendola is maybe coming back. I think Julian Edelman's still out. Deion Lewis is gone. You know, they're left.
Oh, it's going to be Brandon LaFell and Aaron Dobson and Keyshawn Martin. And
yeah, they just cut Chris Harper, who was like playing for them in that last game too. So, it's interesting what's going on in New England. That said, did you pick Philly in this one?
No. And, I'm a big Chip Kelly fan. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles this test. He kind of came in and immediately set the edge strategically. Now that the NFL is starting to adapt and you're seeing that everyone is running more plays now this year than they have in the past, that's a Chip Kelly effect for sure. But now that that's caught up, you're starting to see, okay, well, what kind of personnel manager is he? How is he with a locker room that's struggling? And, you know, this season's the first year that he's really – had to deal with that. And, you know, a lot of grumbling from a number of players in the offseason too. You know, I think both Kerry Williams and LeSean McCoy had words for him on their way out the door. So yeah, it's the early returns on him being able to manage an NFL locker room aren't good, because he's given up 5 touchdown passes to both Jameis Winston and Matthew consecutive weeks with a lot of individual talent on that defense. Mm-hmm. A defense that had been actually playing pretty well up until then. And then, you know, you remove Sam Bradford from the equation on offense, and they go from average to bad. And right now, you know, I don't think they could beat like, if you took the Patriots score at halftime, I think it'll be enough to beat the Eagles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I picked New England easily here. I just think Philly, you know, their one thing that they had going for them this year was their defense, and their defense has just taken a dump lately. Their pass defense has not been good. Like you said, they gave up 5 touchdowns 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. I just don't like them anymore in terms of, I don't have any confidence in them.
None.
And so I still think New England is so savvy with the way they do game plans and things like that, even with the losses they sustained.
Let me ask you this. Can you think of any other team that comes close to being able to weather the loss of your 3 best receiving weapons, all of which would have probably been Pro Bowlers this year?
Oh, hell no.
I mean, like, I can't think of – I mean, even Rodgers, who I think is Brady's only competition, you've seen what happened. He loses Jordy Nelson. Everyone gets moved up a peg, and, you know, his performance has dropped off.
Yeah, Brady. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, I totally agree. Like, he was the first person I thought of when you were, you know, getting into that. Like, just look at what happened with the Packers. I just think Brady is just a step above everybody. What he does, he can make anyone into – not anyone, obviously, but he can make dudes off the street into, you know, potential Pro Bowlers just because he's so good at distributing the football. So.
Yeah, they lose Gronk, and Scott Chandler comes in and in half a game gets like 5 catches, 60 yards, and a teeter.
Yeah, exactly. So it all revolves around Brady. Obviously, I like Belichick in terms of, I have football respect for what he does. And, you know, obviously he's the mastermind in terms of, you know, strategic game planning and all that. So it's going to be, you know, I'd still have a lot of faith in the Patriots, even though they've lost all those, you know, people. But moving down the line, we have another pretty interesting game here. Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Don't know what Andrew Luck's status is. I know he's practicing this week and throwing a little bit. I don't know if he's going to play or not. And then on the other side, you have Ben Roethlisberger going through the concussion protocol. I think I heard that he cleared that. I think we can assume Ben Roethlisberger is going to play.
He practiced fully today.
There we go. So that makes a big difference. You know, whether it's Hasselbeck or Luck, I don't think that actually makes all that big of a difference in terms of my opinion on this game. What do you think?
I think the Steelers are awesome, and I don't think the Colts are very good. Steelers are at home. They should be more or less full strength. It's crazy. There's been virtually no drop-off from Le'Veon Bell to D'Angelo Williams. Their receivers are playing out of their minds right now. I mean, Marcus Wheaton, of all people, had 200-plus yards.
Yeah.
I think that the Seahawks benefited from one of the worst coaching games of Mike Tomlin's career. You know, for someone who is aggressive when it comes to understanding score leverage and going for it on fourth downs and 2-point conversions, even when the book doesn't say two, et cetera, et cetera. He reverted in clutch moments last week, and it burned them. And I think it's just going to be pedal to the metal in this one. And I mean, you've been listening to this podcast. You know how much I like Pittsburgh when Roethlisberger's healthy. So I think the Steelers probably win this one by 10 or more.
Yeah, I agree. I picked Pittsburgh. Moving down the line, last game on the docket, Dallas at Washington. What do you think?
With Romo, I take the Cowboys. Without, it's Washington pretty easily. I'm surprised the line's only 4. I have heard on multiple occasions that Dallas gets the most betting love in the NFL every year, so their lines are always kind of,
that makes sense,
inflated that way. But yeah, as much as I like detest the Redskins organization, Jay Gruden's got something going there on the field. And he's got all, you know, a lot of his guys anyway, playing their best football. And Kirk Cousins is showing that if you give him weapons, and right now all his weapons are healthy with DeSean Jackson and Jordan Reed especially. I mean, they're rolling. I don't love Washington, but I like them. And I think that Dallas has shown just how bad they are without Tony Romo.
It's funny because I wrote an article about Kirk Cousins like a month ago or something when he'd started out the year really terrible. And immediately after that was his "you like that" game.
Yeah, right.
So he's just been like continuing to prove me wrong, which is fine because, you know, I agree. I think they've been playing a lot better. He's feeling really comfortable in that offense. I think having DeSean Jackson makes a big difference. Someone was pointing out the fact – I didn't actually read the whole article, so this is probably not even worth saying, but someone pointed out the fact that DeSean Jackson has regularly made mediocre quarterbacks look really good throughout his career, just because he's so fast and stretches the field, and that really changes the way that you have to play defense against him. He's the greatest deep ball catcher, I think, at least in this generation of receivers, if not potentially ever. He has more, let's see here. I'm trying to quote the stat without looking it up, but he's like somewhere in the top, like two or three in terms of most 60 yard touchdown catches in NFL history. The dude just
closest thing to the human representation of a Madden player with a 99 speed rating.
Exactly. Plus, you know, he has the innate ability to track a football. He's like a center fielder, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of guys have speed. He's got the skill to catch those balls over his shoulder, and that's huge. It's something that you don't really see from very many guys. So I think, you know, long story short, I like Washington in this game as well. I think Dallas just can't win without Romo, frankly. And Washington is more on a roll. They're at home. They're more balanced. I like Washington in this game. So that kind of wraps up the whole schedule. Did you have any to add in terms of against the spread?
There's a few games that I like. I like Pittsburgh at home covering 6.5 against Indy. I like Kansas City covering their 3 points on the road at Oakland, and I've got Seattle winning, so that's a natural cover on a pick'em line. So those are my top three against the spread this week.
Awesome. So remember to subscribe on iTunes, the Deep Balls Podcast. Obviously, check out 3000 NFL Mock Draft with Kenneth Arthur and Rob Staton. That's a great NFL draft-centric podcast every Tuesday or Wednesday. And then check out the Deep Balls Podcast, the instant reaction show after the games that Kenneth and I do as well. So anything to add before we sign off here, Jackson?
No, I'm good. How many games did we disagree on this week? Just the two?
Well, here we got. I picked Detroit. You picked Green Bay.
Yeah.
I picked Houston. You picked Buffalo. And that is it. So two different. So those are the two to watch.
So I got a chance to tie you up.
There we go. I'm actually a little bit surprised we didn't disagree on more of these. I felt kind of.
Yeah, there's a bunch of swing games. I like that term you used. Yeah, there's a lot of games where, you know, no team's getting more than 65% of the picks.
Yeah. So this will be a fun week in terms of pick'ems. Make sure you get your picks in before tomorrow, and thanks for listening.